The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. And the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There was a long unkept promise, there was a name yet to be read aloud, and there was you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You were either all that was left, or you were the beginning of something new. When we turned to your page and began to read, where did we find you in that broken world, and what did we see when we closed our eyes and saw you?
Hugh is sitting in the middlemost aisle, kind of by the emergency exit of an abandoned, decaying, rusty airplane. The tray is down. His shoes are on because he's courteous. He has a clipboard sitting on top of the tray, and he is furiously scribbling notes down as he looks out the window and moves through the world, seeing what has been created over the course of time since his last visit. And you hear that he's just kind of grumpy about a lot of things as he has to account for the changes and adaptations since the last time he was here. So if you looked on his notepad, you would see things like, what the fuck do you even color an echo? You see him writing things like, too many swamps, too many lighthouses. Another note to himself that says, Love is an emotion. What do you mean I have to find the color of the heart of the world? Several question marks after it. He has his head in his hands and he's looking out the window and he checks back to his clipboard and he goes, fine. Job is a job. We have to make sure the clouds are correct. And he looks out the window and he's just kind of looking at the sky, just trying to make sure everything is in place and as it should be, except for the one minor change he made at the beginning in a moment of self-indulgence. But he just is checking the clouds and looking at them, measuring them, zooming in with his eyes to make sure all the molecules and particles and rain droplets are in place and that they're reflecting light the way they ought to. And he just mutters to himself, we'll go, we'll check, we'll approve it, and then we're done. And then this whole thing is over, and I don't have to color any more bizarre shit. He picks up an empty suitcase, and he walks up to the edge of the airplane, and he walks off of it, and he checks a watch that he doesn't have.
When you exit the airplane, the structure is torn and rusted and overgrown, having crashed into the facade of a building long ago. There are large magnolia trees with bees the size of corgis buzzing through the branches. Nearby is an old shed of some sort, surrounded in a pool of melted gold from an era long gone.
He looks at some of the bees before closing his eyes, and he just rolls his eyes, blows air out of his nose, and goes, at least they're the right color. I hate when they just let the riffraff run wild and do what they want around here. Okay, it's fine. They are yellow, they are black, they signal the right things, the rays are hitting. He looks at the vines on the airplane, he's checking the plants in the ground, all of life's things to make sure the light rays that he can see are going to the right cells, and everything seems to be in order there. He plucks one of the vines off of the plane that's been growing, and he looks at it. Chlorophyll's correct, everything is green, not a hint of blue or pink or red or yellow where it ought not to be. Even when everything is chaotic and emotional and illogical, science is still correct. That's good. Okay. Let's finish this job.
You walk beneath the trees. Small Dokken, the tiny deer with wings on their backs, are sleeping in the branches, humming while they dream. Where is your dedication taking you today? Where is the heart of this story?
If I can get an aerial view of everything, then I should be able to fill in any broad strokes that need to be filled in. I just need to make sure everything comes in order and harmony together. The deers have wings, but the wings are the right color. The wings will still warn of danger, I suppose. I can still find a logic in the chaos. So I'm going to take a look at the planet at large, and I will make sure everything is in order, and I will make sure everything is stored in the cloud.
And suddenly you are there, hundreds of stories high, on top of a massive stone structure shaped like a hand and an arm that is pressed flat into the ground. An ancient statue broken long ago. From this height, you can see all across the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. You can see all the changes your companions have made, and all of the changes that time has made.
I I keep looking at the world, and I'm looking at it on a surface level, very literally. And you just see me pull out my my pencil that shifts and changes color, and I'm literally just approaching this as an artist, a painter, a paint-by-numbers child, just like zoning in, looking at every piece, tapping here and there, making little adjustments to the things that have been happening. And then I think to myself, oh, the place that they're hiding within the earth, the one without push, or how did they describe that? Where you go to learn the secrets of the world. What the fuck is the color of a secret? It's all the colors, hell with it. It'll be white, we'll just make it white. We'll match the clouds will be white. That's where I keep all of the colors, secrets. Oh, maybe they're see-through. Ah, there isn't anything in the book about secrets or things under the earth. We'll have to take some liberties. I'll just make everything there, and we'll see what time decides to keep. Given the nature of what's been added to the world, how it seems my co-workers, my compatriots, the other people and beings and entities that have come and gone through the world have approached this one more sentimentally than I would personally like. I'm going to make a build move, and we will see what happens. Okay, I roll a 13 for build. I roll an 11 and I have plus 2 in build. I'm going to go with you see what is needed or understand the vision of another and you can create it. This world has had a lot of established truths that have been slowly appearing on my clipboard as time has gone on. Some of them more esoteric than others, and there has been a handful where the intent wasn't clear or obvious to me. And as I zone in and I look at and I process the world itself, I once again become enamored by the places that are hidden, the places that store emotion, feeling, knowledge. Seeing everything in the grand scope, seeing that while sentimentality ruled, the laws of physics and nature weren't necessarily constantly abandoned, I understand more where my fellow creators' heads were at. So I color these things just correctly. In Hugh's mind, he sees things like the secret that is stored beneath the world, the cave where you can go to seek knowledge but never be the same afterwards, the places where blue used to be, now replaced by that see-through color he himself came up with assistance. And it dawns on him, I can make these anything. If there's no rule, then there's no rule. So he starts inventing new colors for the first time in his career.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
We see smoke clearing, the sounds of battle fading, and in the background, the bone-to-bone click of dice as we look to one another here around this table surrounding where our story took place. Our imagination easily gets the best of us because we use Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. They also offer downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home for when reinforcements are certainly needed. Hero Forge is adding new items to the catalog every week so that the tavern will always have that mysterious guest. And with subscriptions starting at just $3.99, you'll have everything you need with Hero Forge at heroforge.com.
Tempest has left the city. She comes and goes, but this time she's not in the deepest parts of the ocean. She hasn't yet reached for the sky. She is in the ground, moving and pushing her way through dirt and stone. She is carving a series of paths, tunnels that branch and web. She is clawing and moving and pushing her way through, leaving a trail behind her. She looks like a woman, older still. It's no longer like that smooth, still body of water. It ripples with wrinkles. She has been here for so long. And she crawls and she digs. And behind her, you can follow the trail and see her, see what would be like her legs stretching on for miles and miles under the ground. As she creates this network, an underground river. And suddenly she stops. She has gone far enough, she knows this. And she begins to claw her way to the surface. And she sticks her head up and looks around and finds herself in the middle of a thicket of trees. And she does not know how far they go on for. But it doesn't matter because that is not why she's here. She is here based on a feeling. Someone is going to stop here. Somebody who has been traveling for so long, going for so far, and they are thirsty. And here is where they are going to need a drink. And so, she stands up to her full height, no longer 60 feet, probably closer to like 50 now. She's shrunk in her age once more. And she looks around and digs her hands into like the soft grass and sighs and breathes in the air, even though she doesn't need to breathe. And she takes that breath. And then she like kind of withers and splashes into herself and leaves behind a spring. And then goes back into the tunnel, switches direction and begins to crawl and crawl and push. And like the water is full of debris. You know, you've got like discarded roots. You've got like an animal skull. You've got precious stones, things that are being worn and eroded as she moves forward. And then she pops up again after who knows how long. She's been doing this for a while. She's been doing this for so long, but she has to keep going because people need water. The planet needs water. People need to drink, and that is her last task, her last one. Just make sure. And she pushes her head up again and pops up in a desert. And she hates the sand. The sand is dangerous to her. The sand can absorb her, but she pushes through anyway. She does not dig her hands in this time because she knows that she could be lost and there is still more work to be done. but she tries. And then she sucks herself back in before the wind and the sand and the vast emptiness of this place can consume her, and once again begins to crawl beneath the earth, carving the way across the globe. This is her last final act, and she is leaving parts of herself everywhere. Tempest has been to more worlds than she can remember, but she remembers this one from the first time. This world is special to her. She doesn't understand why she connects with it so much, but she loves it dearly. It is beautiful, and she's seen the work that, like, the rest of her cohort are doing, and she knows that this is something special. She's never settled down anywhere, and she doesn't intend to. She knows that she will be recalled and have to go again. But that doesn't mean that she will be able to go on forever. And so, with each spring, I would like to leave a chance, an opportunity, eventually for her children to grow from these springs, should the universe require them. All right, let's go, Cash Money. I've got a +3 to believe. Okay, that's a 4 and a 3 on the dice. That's 7 plus 3, 10. I just hit it. There is a time when the world is thriving again, when Tempest is long gone, like worlds away, that she will be consumed by the earth and give her body to grow a place anew. That was always destined for her. She knows this. And like whispers through the ocean, her dying song is going to spread through the stars and resonate within these springs. Like these bubbling fountains will ripple and they will grow into like this cacophony of like rushing around the planet that can be heard. The globe will get brighter. And from the springs is an opportunity. And she does not know what that will look like because she did not see her own birth. But from one of them, maybe multiple, little droplets will start to race towards the sky. And it will look like a reverse waterfall as all of these springs coalesce together at the apex of the world and shoot off into space to answer big summons.
As above, so below. Everything ends and begins again. We see beams of light and rainbows skipped sideways like stones over the pond of history. There is a vision of wings and shooting stars begin to leave the world for the void of space. Some of your companions are still putting away their tools before leaving the world of Glen by the hundreds. There are not many of you left here. A few linger, writing their name on a root or their signature on the base of a mountain.
He is looking at his clipboard, and the last check is being marked, the last notes are being entered, and ordinarily, a job is a job. It's finished. It's done. I'll end my day and move on to something else, but it just feels like there should be another one here. It feels like with how different this world has been and how everyone has added bizarre and interesting and peculiar things to this world, it's hard to shake the feeling that something is finished, that this is something that we can just call done and move on from. And that's a new feeling for Hugh. He's never had to worry about where his heart lies because he hasn't approached this with heart. He's often wondered if his type, his kind, even has them. He wasn't designed to feel, he wasn't designed to care, he was just put here to make sure the light worked, that there is order. And there isn't order. But there is light, so what's missing? What am I forgetting?
And I think even though you did not say that out loud, Tempest knows. And she approaches you. But you can't see her at first. But there's something wrong in the sky. There is a cloud unaccounted for. Something that is throwing you off. And it moves slowly, leisurely, taking its time, faster than anything else still in the sky, unbound by the wind, and moving of its own volition. And the cloud begins to take many forms once you notice it, once it is clearly in your attention. It takes the form of a flower that opens and blooms. It takes the form of a dokken. It takes the form of a conch. And then it takes the form of a woman. Old. Clearly lined. With a childish grin. As she's like, gotcha.
Tempest. That's what I'm forgetting.
Hello, Hugh.
You're old now.
And I will be young again.
Mm-hmm. So we must be near the end of this.
We are almost done. I have a job for you.
Okay.
You got your pen?
He kind of waves his hand in the air and it appears in his hand. He's like, okay, yep, I'm ready. Let's... I guess if you're here, it's important. Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Tempest is a being of few words, and she seems to have used them all in this initial communication. And what you see is her body fluffy, white. It darkens for a moment, like a thunderstorm when you say we're almost done, and then it quickly brightens again. And she waves a hand, and you see what could be considered watercolor. A sheet of water in the sky, and you see the blue of like the atmosphere reflected through, and where there would be clouds, they look different to what you can see behind. They are colored, they are tinted. They are open and honest and true. And she shows you her vision for a final gift for this world. Something indulgent. Something different. Something new.
Indulgent isn't something Hugh dives into too terribly often. But he's been doing it more lately on this world. Taking out things he doesn't care for, putting things back that other people care for. Beginning to understand, he's beginning to approach this more as a builder, less as a shaper. But there's still that piece of him that he doesn't think exists. Why though? I've never understood. I've done countless of these. I've never understood the why of sentiment. We're just putting things there for the sake of putting them there? Just... I don't get it, Tempest. I never have.
Tempest reaches out a hand. It is large. Colossal. And she reaches out a hand and offers it to you. Are you willing to take it?
Yes. Yes, he is. Out of instinct more than anything, but he does take it.
Her hand closes over yours. And suddenly you are shooting up into the sky. She takes you, much like a child in a movie where they are discovering the wonder of things unknown to their parents, and she begins to fly with you in this cloud form. You hop from cloud to cloud to cloud, feeling the wind rush past you. She takes you diving into the ocean, and you can see the fish and the coral and all of the secrets beneath the surface. She squeezes through underground rivers that she has created and shows you fossils uncovered in her excursions. She shows you wonder and whimsy. She shows you safes full of water that should not be there, and fountains and overturned cars dripping wet. She shows you enjoyment and a feeling. I would like to use the shape move. We've got a plus two. Okay, that is a 7. And I would like to change a single truth. The thing that is now true for Hugh is that they can see the wonder of a world full of gifts and secrets.
Hugh is a gray being. Colored silver, different shades. He himself has not been donned with the color he puts in the world that he makes. Except for his eyes now. His eye color goes from that hazy gray to a sharper, clearer, watery blue. As he looks at the world now through the literal eyes of Tempest, through the literal eyes of someone who can understand the whimsy, the care, the sadness, the joy of it all, I'd like to make a love roll. My love modifier is currently 0. We're testing it out. So whatever I get is what I get. And I get an 8. Hugh starts crying. New thing for Hugh. Have to assume it's little pieces of Tempest coming out of the eyes at this point. Maybe the blue fades a little bit before it gets refilled. And he just asks out loud, no one's standing next to him, this is the pieces that are there that are teaching him how to feel this new, weird, alien thoughts. And he asks the question out loud, but it won't love me back. What happens when it doesn't love you back?
Tempest takes both of your hands and holds them to the surface of her chest and you expect it to be as clouds are, icy cold, wet. But it is warm. The rumblings of a storm. But the thing about storms is that while it is a heavy downpour, there is safety and reassurance in it. If you are inside listening to a storm, it can lull you to sleep, knowing that the world might be, the sky is cascading outside, but you will be okay. You are safe here. It might not love you back, but that doesn't negate the love that you have.
He pulls out his pen, his pencil, his brush, his mastery of all colors, and he hits himself with it. Pulls out the gray. Hue, apart from his eyes, is now that clear color he replaced blue with. And he reaches out to a single cloud and shoves the pencil through it, creating one cloud in the sky that will always be a storm cloud because of its color. The molecules and the atoms and the particles and the rain droplets in this cloud will always be gray. A single storm cloud to permanently hover over this world. And he looks at Tempest and says, "That way we can both stay here and keep an eye on things and go where it needs to go."
Tempest nods slowly. She smiles in a way that when it reaches her eyes, you are not seeing the eyes of an old woman, but the eyes of a child turning highways into rivers. And then she kind of gestures to the rest of the clouds and steps back. But there is like a little platform of cloud beneath your feet, and you can go wherever you want to go. She is giving you a gift for you to move of your own volition, and she will watch you work.
In Hugh's case, he's going to just travel without abandon. He's going to touch each cloud as he goes, as he sees them. He's going to rearrange the lights in the sky. He said I would keep the sky blue, but now he's out of a different mindset. Now he sees the real purpose of color and what it can inspire. So you see red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, violet. Clouds all circulating in the sky. Sometimes they cross paths with each other because they are just molecules after all, and they make new colors. And he makes the sky more of a mirror, reflecting those changes. All the colors, instead of being stored in the cloud, are now the sky, reflecting whatever mood the clouds are in, whatever crosses over, whatever blends together. The sky mirrors it and mimics it. And you just hear this really unabashed laughter coming out of the clouds, as if someone just learned how to do it and they realize it's really fun. A person who's new to laughing, a strange sound, but still a jovial one, just making whatever up there.
Tempest sits on the wrist where she found Hugh. Legs dangling over the side, that kind of opaqueness starting to fade as she becomes watery. And it is very much the emotion of a grandma watching her kid play, her grandson like play at the park. She is observing, full of love and relaxation. She knows that Hugh is safe here and unbound because everyone else has left. And every so often, if Hugh turns to look at her, she gives like a thumbs up. And a couple of times she like parts her hands and a rainbow appears between them, just as inspiration as she watches Hugh work. But she knew that Hugh was capable of this. And in a world this special, she does not want to impede Hugh's artistic liberties. And so sometimes she will send a new cloud so that way Hugh can bounce. She watches, knowing that her vision for this place is complete.
The first thing Hugh does once he's had his fill, and once he looks around and realizes that the person who put this emotion in him has their own job to do, their own next step, they can't constantly be here to watch what I'm doing, I think it just occurs to him that the nature of the job has changed now, that he approaches things differently. So he looks at the clipboard in his hand and he throws it into the ocean. And then he turns around and he takes a big look at the sky and how it constantly changes and shifts, and he stares directly into the sun. And he pulls out his pencil one last time and points at it and goes, okay, now the list is finished. And you can give your light to everything that needs it. You see a bright white come out of it, and the sun turns on. And all of the color he placed everywhere starts to reflect off of everything. And he kind of wipes his hands off and goes, all right, and that's that. And then the only thing you can see with Hugh, of course, are the blue in his eyes, and then those disappear as he goes off to whatever his next job is.
The light turns on. A new beginning. And she begins to walk in silence, other than a little drip, drip, drip as she moves through this world. This place is so beautiful. We made it beautiful once before, and we have given it life anew. And she's so proud. She looks at every single detail, inspects it all. Everyone has done such a good job. And she can hear in her soul a call. She can hear Big calling to her, summoning her back to the place where they all rest, just for a moment, before she goes off again to find somewhere new. And she resists, because she just has to see one last time. And slowly she walks to a city bigger than dreams. Moves through suburbs, looks up at buildings raising and stretching towards the sky. And she finds an apartment block with a fire escape. And she begins to climb, and as she climbs, she sheds, leaving water rushing behind her as she gets smaller and smaller, and she ages in reverse. As she climbs to the top, she is no longer old, but she is a child standing on top of the world, surveying this kingdom, this second chance. And she speaks with a voice that is young and old and reverberates through every single droplet in this place. You can do this. I believe in you. Tell a new story here. And she begins to float again, leaving like raindrops behind her until she is nothing more than a single droplet rising to the sky, looking as the sun sets and the moon rises. This is it. They have done it. And it couldn't be more beautiful. They're gonna love it.
We see the book close from the nearby moon as a cowboy hat is visible above a cluster of clouds.
Sometimes it takes half a lifetime to understand the silence from half a lifetime before. There will always be this city, and there will always be a witness. And there will always be this space between us, here at the edges of the world.
Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for the finale episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. Hugh, are you feeling blue? Do you have a name, and may we use it?
Yeah, if you ask me nicely. Hi, I'm Grant. I played Hugh, and I'm different now. I'm the titular Game Master over at Game Master Monday. We're the podcast that plays a new one-shot and a new system with a new cast every episode. We're also a live stream show that does whatever the fuck I feel like putting on that thing. Come check us out. We're a fun podcast, we're a fun Twitch channel, and I will never know rest.
And Tempest, please refresh us with your moist name.
You're rah-rah!
Sitting on that all day.
Hello, my name is Taylor Navarro. I use she, her pronouns, and I have been playing Tempest. I'm exactly the same as I was when I started. A menace. You can find me in places if you look hard enough. Where could you find me? You probably find me on Blue Sky at Taylor Ann NX. There's one more N than you think there is. Other than that, I do things. Good luck. Goodbye.
And I'm Rara, but that's enough about that.